is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown.
Well, hello, leaders, and welcome to the November edition of the Leadership Momentum Podcast. I'm excited about our episode this month featuring the inspiring leader, Tim Tebow. That's right. We're going to look into Tim's life and see what God has been teaching him through success and through adversity. As I follow his story of highs and lows, that you're following as well, many of you, over the last few years, I can't help but see the parallels to his life and the life of a church leader. Whether you're a lead pastor or you're a ministry leader or maybe a volunteer leader, we'll be talking about those similarities, and I am certain it's going to bless you. And we'll be also talking with my good friend, the always insightful Shanti Felden. Shanti will be sharing a great opportunity with us, an opportunity that I really, really believe in, something that can really revive the culture within our churches. I don't know if that intrigues you or not, but reviving the culture, it's a big deal, right? So before we get started, I do want to give you a huge shout out to some incredible churches and associations. Of course, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while now, you know that the big part of what we do here at Ramsey Solutions is financial discipleship. That's no secret. But there's a ton of churches who are getting serious about financial discipleship, and I want you to know who they are so you can reach out to them and see what they're doing. They're seeing some incredible results in their congregational health. Again, if that's important to you, right? And also in their congregation's giving, which I know is important to you because the gospel is free, but it's not freely preached, right? So huge shout out to Mariners Church in Orange County, California. 20-something thousand people attending on a weekend. They're all going through Financial Peace University at the same time. Dr. Ed Young Sr. in Second Baptist Houston, they're doing the same thing, something like 26, 27,000 people all going through Financial Peace University at the same time. Pastor Johnny Hunt, First Baptist Woodstock, them as well. Cross Point Church here in Nashville, also getting serious about financial discipleship. Everyone going through Financial Peace University. Greg and Josh Surratt, those guys over at Seacoast Church, good friends of mine in South Carolina, they're doing the same thing. Randy Bizette and the great Bayside Church down in Bradenton, Florida. And Craig Rochelle and the trailblazing crew at Life Church. And there's many more associations and whole entire denominations that are getting on, just getting in on the cutting edge of what it is to help their congregations with, folks, what research points out as the number one thing holding the church back today, and that is personal finances. Only 12% of born-again believers tithe. 12%. We got a lot of work to do. The born-again believers as a whole are only given 3% of their income. I don't know if you know this or not, but Relevant Magazine pointed out to us, did the research, if we were all to tithe, born-again believers that are attending church were all to tithe, there'd be an additional $165 billion available for kingdom work. $165 billion. That's not an M. That's billion with a B. That's a lot of shelters being built and a lot of missions trips, lots of community outreach. So I guess the question is, why don't they give? Well, these churches that I listed, and there's many more, they realize it's not because people don't want to give, it's because they're broke. They can't give. Their money's already obligated to these things we call payments. Their dollars are obligated to the past, so they have no opportunity for the future. So check this out. The average salary in America is right around $50,000 a year. So last research I saw was $48,600. So the average tithe should be right around $415 a month. But did you know that the average car payment is $499 a month and the average student loan payment is $404 a month? That's where the tithe is. It's not because they don't want to give. It's already obligated. It's already gone. You see, the biggest competition in the church today is not other churches, it's debt. So it's fun to hear from these incredible churches as they now are letting us know the results. Christ Fellowship Church down in West Palm Beach reported over 3,000 credit cards cut up, over $50 million swing in the congregation's personal finances. When I say swing, I mean amount saved versus the amount of debt paid off, that swing. Another great church got crazy about this. Pastor David Hughes and Church by the Glades down in Coral Springs. They have a sustained increase of 20% in their giving as a result. So God's doing some amazing things, and these are some churches that your discipleship leader or your discipleship team can reach out to, and you can also find out more information on stewardshipcentral.org as well, right underneath the Solutions tab. Well, Shanti Felden is no stranger to the Leadership Momentum podcast community. She's been on the podcast before, you remember, sharing hope-filled marriage research and other great pointers for our relationships. And the brilliant best-selling author has been at it again after selling more than 2 million copies of her other great resources. She's come up with something that I really think will be huge in the church world and beyond. Shanti, thank you so much for joining us again here on the Leadership Momentum Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
And you've been busy. Tell us about this new opportunity.
Well, it's interesting. My latest research project has completely blown me away. Basically, you know, I do a lot of not just the research on hope for marriage and debunking the divorce rate and encouraging churches and all that, but I also do a lot of personal relationship research and identifying those, you know, little factors that once you know them, it makes a pretty big difference in your relationships. And the course of the last research project, and really all of them, I really concluded that whether we thrive in our life and whether we thrive in our relationships, it turns out it's way more correlated to how you treat other people than how you yourself are treated.
So good. I love the personal responsibility aspect of that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and it kind of makes sense, right? For those of us as believers, we kind of know that. It's basically what Jesus has said.
Imagine that.
But imagine that. But it is fascinating to see it come out in the numbers, and it is fascinating to see that essentially God behind the scenes seems to be setting up a movement that is essentially a movement of kindness, really. Mm. That seems to be the key factor in all sorts of relationships. And in the background, there are so many ministries and churches and organizations that are recognizing we have never needed kindness more.
That's so true.
And this is an opportunity for the body of Christ to lead the way in really restoring kindness, not just in our individual personal relationships, but really in our culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, we've seen that over the last couple months with the race.
Oh, my word.
The presidential race, the lack of kindness. Now, it sounds like kindness is, you know, if you just take it for its word, it seems pretty, I don't know, elementary. But for me, as somebody who's read your latest book, you obviously go into the depths behind kindness and the power. I actually referenced the power of kindness several times. And some of the things that we have not considered about kindness, share some of that.
Well, the thing I think that most of us don't realize is, as individuals and really as leaders, is truly how often unkind we all are. And we would never intend to. We would never intend to be, but it turns out there's some blind spots that we have. For example, one of the things that I found in this research project is I was basically testing what is kindness, because it sounds kind of vague, right? And it turns out it's made up of three separate things. It's withholding negativity, negative comments. It's giving praise. It's giving affirmation affirmatively. And it's doing something. It's doing a little act of kindness or generosity. And those three things are really what make up being kind. Well, we talk to people about withholding negativity, and I thought to myself, well, I won't need to really worry about that one. I mean, I'm kind of a positive person. That's going to be an issue. Maybe I need to give more praise every day and do stuff more, but, you know, I'm not negative. And then I started cataloging the types of negativity. It turns out I'm negative every single day. One of the types of negativity, it turns out, is exasperation. And I get exasperated with my kids all the time, and I don't realize that I'm saying, you're an idiot, but that's kind of what I'm saying. And I realize we have work to do if we really are going to get back to being kind people in our personal relationships and really looking like Jesus to our culture.
Well, I love in the book that you don't shy away from your faith, and the ultimate author of kindness is Jesus, and you just pulled out some, you know, recent research, and kind of just really did a deep dive and dissected this kindness. And out of those three things that you just said, I was under so much conviction. I'm like, I'm a pretty nice guy. And I was like, man, I stink. So it was really good that you kind of pried into my heart when I read the book. Now, you and I were discussing recently about a great opportunity, a challenge. Yeah. That could happen, even a congregation-wide, or maybe even a whole entire denomination or an association, or what this could actually do for the kingdom of God. And share some of those thoughts.
So here's basically the way that we have presented this. This is what we ended up testing in the research, and this is what works, and this is what so many churches are really seeing could be a tool for their congregations, and really a way for the pastor to engage the church and the church to engage the community. As an outreach, really, it's called the 30-Day Kindness Challenge. And it's to encourage everybody, to challenge everybody for 30 days to do three simple things. And it's those three elements of kindness. For 30 days, don't pick a person that you want a better relationship with. Now, it could be, you know, that you have a really difficult relationship with your mother-in-law or that neighbor next door. It could be somebody like your spouse that you already have a good relationship with. You want it to be better. Or like me with my kids. And for 30 days, pick that person and don't say anything negative about that person. Either to them or about them to somebody else, which is often where we sabotage ourselves, right? Because I can be sweet to my, you know, my mother-in-law, but if I drive away from the house and I'm complaining to my husband about she always does this, then I've just undermined my relationship with her, and I don't realize it. Number two is find one thing positive every day that you can praise and legitimately, sincerely affirm and tell that person and tell somebody else. So tell her how grateful you are that she keeps the kids, and when you drive away, tell your husband how nice it is that she always does that. And you're affirming that in her. It's Philippians 4:8, right? It's thinking on whatever is lovely and worthy of praise rather than what's worthy of driving you crazy. And then third thing, every day, do one small act of kindness or generosity for her. So, I don't know, you know, you bring her favorite donuts when she, when you drop the kids off. I don't know. But it's something simple. It's something small. Those three things together are super simple, but they are absolutely transformative. We found that 89% of relationships improved. And it didn't matter what kind of relationship it was. It didn't matter whether it was a marriage on the verge of divorce or whether it was something that was a good relationship that just wanted to be great. 89% of relationships improved.
Wow.
And that, to me, speaks volumes about the power of doing what Jesus actually said. And to be candid, this is an opportunity at a moment where people are feeling the need for kindness and they don't really realize how unkind they can be.
Yeah.
And doing this 30-day kindness challenge, it wakes us up. It opens our eyes to see, oh my gosh, I really am. I don't praise my husband or I don't tell my kids thank you as often as I thought I did. I'm more negative than I thought. And once you start doing it, you see it everywhere. It's an amazing opportunity, especially I think for the local church to be at the forefront of this movement that God seems to be setting up.
Yeah, in our last episode, we talked a little bit about warmth, that one of the things that people are attracted to in the church today is warmth. And it's really hard to be warm when you're walking around. You use the term sabotage ourselves, and that's really what we're sabotaged. And so it's really hard to be warm when you have this feeling of conviction that you're walking around being unkind and complaining and talking behind people's backs
and
things.
We don't think we are.
Right. Oh, right? No, I mean, of course not.
We're every one of us.
We're all believers, right? We're all perfect.
This is an issue. But the thing is, it doesn't have to be. We all have this sin in our hearts, obviously.
Yeah.
But once we do something specific, like the 30-Day Kindness Challenge, that's when our eyes are opened. And honestly, in terms of the health of a local church, this would help just internally the health of the local church and the church actually be a kinder and warmer place internally.
Yeah.
But this is a fantastic outreach.
Yes. Well, obviously, this is fantastic, and I'm a big fan, and that's why I wanted to make sure we covered it on this podcast. What exactly do folks need to do? Maybe it's a ministry leader, or maybe it's a pastor of an entire church.
Yeah.
What do they need to do to take their team and their congregation through this?
So there's a website that is sort of the main central place that not just individuals can come to sign up for the 30-Day Kindness Challenge, but if a church leader or a leader of a group wants to sign up as a partner to get the package and the kit that goes with it and then do it internally with their people, you know, and the people in their community, go to jointhekindnesschallenge.com. Jointhekindnesschallenge.com, and you'll see a section for leaders. So people can either refer individuals to the website just to sign up directly, or they can go to the leaders section and get the kit and get all the stuff to do it themselves. And I really hope that the churches and the leaders listening to this will help be a part of this movement, because I really strongly believe this isn't just for, there's businesses that are interested in doing this. There's like some major league sports teams that are involved in this. But this is something the body of Christ really has an opportunity to lead the way, because it is based on what Jesus has modeled for us and Jesus says that the body of Christ should do.
Yeah, I agree, big time. Well, folks, it is jointhekindnesschallenge.com. You can head over there. We'll also provide a link at stewardshipcentral.org when you're at that website as well. Shanti, as always, we appreciate your work, and we're excited about what God's going to do through this movement. We thank you for your time.
Oh, thanks so much, Chris.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, my friends, you have certainly heard a lot about Tim Tebow over the last few months and his adventure into the baseball world. Tim Tebow is a two-time national champion, first-round NFL draft pick, Heisman Trophy winner, and after playing in the NFL for the Broncos and for the New York Jets, Tebow joined the SEC Network. In addition to his role on SEC Nation, Tebow also contributes to a variety of other ESPN platforms. Through everything, Tim's true passion remains the work of the Tim Tebow Foundation, which he began in 2010. The foundation's mission is to bring faith, hope, and love to those needing a brighter day in their darkest hour of need. The foundation is fulfilling that mission every day by serving thousands of deserving children all around the world. And many of you know all that because you've partnered with this foundation. But Tim Tebow is also an incredible leader. Everything he does and everywhere he goes, this guy is an outstanding leader and a very inspiring man of God who walks out his faith publicly. And that's why he's our featured guest this month on the Leadership Momentum Podcast. Tim Tebow, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you doing?
Oh, very, very good. We're excited that you're on, and wanted to ask you a bunch of questions. You got a lot of developments in your life. Of course, you have over the last decade, but...
Well, we're just trying to stay busy, that's all.
Well, you definitely are, that's for sure. Hey, let's start off the discussion. I want to ask the question, who is Tim Tebow? I mean, with so much media from a phenomenal run as a quarterback at UF, a Heisman as a sophomore, a phenomenal season for the Broncos, disappointing years in the NFL, jacking a home run in your first major league at bat, and of course, many of us know about your special needs ministry. And then most recently, laying your hands and praying for an unconscious fan. It would just be great to hear from you exactly who is Tim Tebow.
Oh, well, that's a really good question. I would say, first and foremost, I'm a child of God that gets to live out the plan that God has for me, just like we all do. And, I think there would be a lot of people that would try to define me in a lot of different ways as a football player or as a, a speaker, philanthropist or author or baseball player without those things. And I wouldn't define myself or look at my identity as any of those things, honestly, at all. I think they're all blessings of things that I get to do, but who I am is a child of God first and foremost. And that's where I find all of my identity and who I am and whose I am. And then the rest of it are great opportunities of things that I love to do, but for a bigger purpose and a bigger picture.
Well, of course, I talk a lot about stewardship, and most of the time we discuss about finances. But when I think of people that I know that truly steward their platform for God's glory, obviously your name comes up. Tell us what's going on inside your head and inside your heart when you courageously speak out about Jesus publicly and share what you just shared with me on such a public platform.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You brought up this stewardship and finances, and really a big, you know, moment for me was several years ago, but it was with someone who was very close and in my inner circle, someone who has done very well for himself, and he was, talking about finances, and he was talking about, okay, you know, how you can make a lot of money, and really, you know, the way to make a lot of money and a lot of wealth is to be able to, you know, make money while you're doing other things, while you're sleeping, while you're eating, while you're, on mission trips, while you're doing things, finding, you know, assets that will make money for you when you're doing all these other things. One day when you have a family and you're hanging with your kids and all these other things. And you know, he was sharing this to me about making money, but I really took it and started to think about it and really wanted to apply that to stewardship, but really more so to even people's lives. And that's really where I changed the thought process of a little bit of what even we were doing with the foundation. Of up to that point, I mean, we were doing a lot of things, but a lot of things I had to be there to do, and it really changed to where I wanted to do things where we would be helping people around the world while I was sleeping or eating or hanging with my family or playing with my nieces and nephews. And, you know, and I know that doesn't really answer your question, but it just is something that pops into my head when you were mentioning stewardship and finances. And I think, you know, the way that I tried to switch from finances to people's lives, to how we could invest in people 24/7, 365 all the time. And, you know, that's really where my focus in my head's been at lately, is, you know, as many people as possible that we can encourage, that we can love, that we can bring faith, hope, and love into their life. And, you know, so that's why we're taking care of over 2,000 orphans, and we got a hospital that, you know, they're picking up sick kids and taking them to, you know, get physical, spiritual, and emotional healing while we're, you know, having the chance to talk on the phone right now. And so just things that, you know, not only can we be good stewards, but all the time we can try to find ways to love on people.
That's so good. You're sharing a lot about the why, and not just what you do, but the why behind it. As you live out your faith very publicly, there's risk associated with that. And I'm trying to put myself in your shoes down to the moment where you actually have to think through, am I going to do this or not? Or maybe there's not a whole lot of thought, and maybe it's just an overflow, I'm not sure. But what encouragement do you have for us when it comes to that moment of living out the faith and the risk associated with it in a certain environment?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I love it. That's a really good question. I think you have to, you know, it obviously depends on the moments, but you have to build yourself up. So when intense moments happen, that it really isn't as much of a thought process as it is a reaction. And so when those moments come, you're just ready. And, you know, some people might say, why do you do that? And it's like, well, there's not even really a choice, right? It's not a choice. It's just something that it's what you do, because it's who you are in your relationship with Christ. And so if you see someone that needs help, it's what you do. It's more important than anything else. And, you know, and there's so many different ways and forms that we can do that. But I really think it's the identity in which you have, in which you've created your own identity. And then it's just an overflow of you reacting to what's been built up in your heart.
That's so applicable to all of our lives. And, you know, we're all in the public eye in some way, in our sphere of influence, and the living out is really, really important. And you obviously model that for us. You know, one of the things that I respect about you the most is how grounded you are and how grounded you've stayed. We've got thousands of leaders listening in who are the king of their own castle. You know, they've got a staff, they've got a team, they got maybe a group of volunteers who think they're the stuff. You have the whole globe thinking you're the man. How do you stay grounded?
Oh, man. First of all, that's one of the hardest things to, you know, humility and pride. That's a tough subject right there. But I think, you know, for me, it's going back to the scriptures and having those scriptures hidden in your heart where, you know, pride goes before a fall, but a haughty spirit before destruction. And God gives grace to the humble, but as opposed to the proud. And keeping those verses in your head, you know, and constantly thinking about it. But not only just thinking about that, but thinking about, okay, how can I put my body and my mind and my spirit in the place of trying to be a servant? Because I feel like when we are trying to serve, that's the best place to try to get to a humble spot. And so it's honestly trying to find ways to serve other people. But, you know, then also to answer your question, it's knowing that whatever platform, whatever place we have, it can be taken away from us literally in a split second. Mm. And just because we have a platform or we have a status that someone gave us as a church or as a leader or whatever, that doesn't matter at all. Because first of all, leadership doesn't come from a position. It comes from you being able to influence people, and it can be gone so fast. And, you know, I've had positions on teams where, you know, I've been the quarterback and guess what? Then I've been cut. Oh yeah, that happened 4 times, you know? Mm. And it can come and it can go so fast. And the moment that we start to think that we're better than people because of our status or position, then we're so much closer to that slipping through our fingers and not understanding or not taking advantage of the platform that we have. And people sometimes, you know, it's happened to myself and I've seen in so many people around me is you get to a place where you feel like, okay, I've arrived, I've gotten here, this is great, this is exciting. And then you kind of rest on what got you there. And it's a very slippery slope. And to ever think that you've arrived or you were slightly better or anything than the people around you is the wrong mindset. And I think for me, having been in a lot of those different situations, the mindset to have is, okay, I got to try to focus on being even more of what got me here. I got to be more of a servant, more of a leader, more loving, more kind, because everybody else is going to follow my example that much more. I got to be the first one in. I got to be the last one to leave. I got to stay focused and not get complacent on the little things. And that's what's going to be the thing that everybody looks at and says, okay, well, you know, if they're the first one in, I can do that. If they're going to work this hard, I can do that. If they're going to, you know, constantly do these little things. And I think that's the greatest way to try to have an impact on the people around you when you have a platform is not by using your platform to shake your finger or talk down to them, but it's to go in the trenches and work with them. Mm. And when you work with them with the platform, then I think you have a chance of having a greater influence.
Wow. Wow. So good. You know, you talk a lot about being grounded. You talk about how to feel when you're disappointed yourself or you disappointed others, when you could have performed better, and also what you just touched on, when you feel like sometimes you performed fine, but you got passed up, how to process those times. So you talk about these things in your new book, Shaken, incredible resource. What are you hoping that people experience reading your book?
Well, I'm hoping that it's an encouragement. I'm hoping that... You know, there's a lot of people that are going through a lot of tough times, and life's not always easy, but hopefully this can be a book that when they pick it up and they read it, that it can be an encouragement, that they can go back to what their identity is, that they can understand what God says about them, that who they are in Christ, and that, you know, when they have pain in their life and their pain's given to God, that God's not going to waste their pain, that God's going to do something awesome with it, that God's going to use it in their life, through their life, but he's not going to waste it. He's not going to take you through things just to take you through things. Mm-hmm. He's going to use it because he has an awesome poem that we know from Ephesians 2:10 that he's got a great plan for our life, and he's got a masterpiece, and he is, and we're just, we might not know what that is, and we might not be able to see the other side, but we have to trust it. That's part of trusting God's plan. And so hopefully that's a little bit of what they would get out of it.
Yeah, that's great. Let's just say someone's listening in right now, and they love all that. It's very inspiring to hear you say, but there's these voices in their head. You talk a little bit in your book about voices of negativity.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we all have them, and they come all the time. It can come from the TV. It comes from your friends. Unfortunately, it can even come from your family. It can come from all over. It can come from people at church. You know, there's going to be so many people in your life that are going to tell you that you can't, that you shouldn't, that you wouldn't, that you're not good enough, all of these things. And, you know, those just aren't the voices that you should listen to. And if you want to be your best, you can't listen to them. You know, I've been in places where I've listened to them too much, but you have to listen to what God says about you, that you're a creation in Christ, that you are one of a kind, that you are made special, that you're created in love, by love, and for love to do amazing things. And then when God puts something on your heart, and it matches the gifts of what God's given you, then go after it with everything that you have and believe in that. And don't believe in what the people are going to tell you, that all the reasons that you can or you shouldn't. And even if you don't even succeed at that, is if you give it everything you have, you never know what God will do with that. Mm-hmm. And I think so many times in our society, we have so many people that are afraid to step out. They're afraid to fail. They're afraid to give it everything they have. And so instead of that, they're going to have one foot in and one foot out, and they're going to balance it just so they don't, fall flat on their face, or they don't embarrass themselves. Instead of living with a reckless abandon, just going after their hopes and their dreams and what God puts on their heart, and living passionately and ferociously, and just going after stuff instead of being scared and timid and, upset about what people are going to think, or, are they going to badmouth me on Twitter, or, guess what? If you stand for something good, and guess what? You will be criticized. And we know that from the Bible. The Bible tells us if we do stand up for something, we will be criticized. That's okay. Criticism's not the worst thing. But giving into it or not doing something because we're afraid of what people might say, that's something that is regret that you are going to live with. Not giving everything you have, and that for me, that's how I want to live. I want to give everything I have so one day I can look back, and whether, I succeeded or failed at whatever it is, I can look back and say, I at least went out there and I gave it everything I had. And whether that's in sports, in life, in my foundation, and whatever it is, so I can look back with no regrets because I went out there and I lived with just reckless abandon.
Wow. That means a lot coming from you, all that, because even that criticism piece that you touched on, you post anything. I mean, you post about a cat. Something really, and you've got 1,000 comments on there.
I'm more of a dog person, so I'd rather do that.
Well, I can see a cat. There being mostly negative comments. I can see that.
I can see that too.
Well, very inspiring book for sure, and definitely highly recommended. Of course, we'll have it on all of our websites, stewardship.com, stewardshipcentral.org for a link for that. Of course, with a name like Tim Tebow and your profile, people can find your book, but we'll make that very easy for everybody. You're also a really inspiring, just an inspiring dude. You lead us informally through your walk. I got to ask you, who's a leader that you would follow? If a Tim Tebow type person were to walk in the doors of a church, what kind of leader does that need to be to make a Tim Tebow type person stay?
Well, I'll tell you what, the type of person that I am drawn to is someone that is genuine, down to earth, and that actually just does life and lives it out, and isn't just someone that uses fancy words or can talk church talk. And there's a lot of that, but like, who's the person when push comes to shove that they're going to be in the pit with you. They're, you know, and they're going to go to battle with you, and, you know, and they're not just, you know, going to want to call when, you know, you get signed by another team. They're going to be with you in the midst of the downs too, and they're just, they want to just go do life and be warriors in it and go compete at life. Those are the people I'm most drawn to as leaders, because those are the people that are the same in the good and the bad. And those are the people that, honestly, they're probably even better when it's going against them than when it's going for them.
That's good. And many folks listening in are parents also. And I got to say, I've got two boys that, I'll just say, if they turned out like you in regards to discipline and work ethic and faith and integrity, I'd say I'd be pretty pleased. But what were a couple things that your parents did that worked the most?
Well, I think number one, it was what they showed us by their actions. And it wasn't by what they told us. I mean, it was, you know, I got to see my dad live out every day of my life having the most courage and the most boldness of anyone I've ever met still to this day. And, you know, he didn't just tell us, hey, you know, this is something I'd love for you to have. He showed it. He showed it when he would stand up in places and preach the gospel in the middle of places where they threatened to kill him. Mm. You know, it was constantly doing that. It was loving people that could never do anything for him, you know, for his entire life. And then for my mom, it was about how, you know, how to treat people, how she treats everyone with so much respect and care and loves and talks to everybody, whether it's, you know, someone that she just meets or she bumps into in the airport and they stop her and talk to her for 20 minutes, or it's a friend that she's had for, you know, for 30 years, she treats everybody the same. And so, yeah, there were so many lessons and different things that they, you know, taught us, but honestly, I've probably forgotten half of it, but what I don't forget and I won't ever forget is the lives that they lived out and the impact that they had in front of us for so many people.
Yeah, the power of modeling. Very, very cool stuff. Tim, you ever thought about running for office?
I've been asked that before, and, you know, I won't rule it out. You know, I've always just said whatever I feel like I can have the greatest impact for, I'd love to do, and I don't know. Maybe. You never know what God has in store.
We definitely, a lot of the traits that you live out, we definitely would appreciate and admire in that office. But anyway, fun fact for you. I don't know, of course you don't know this, but both my boys, when they turned 10 years old, I paid them $25 each to read your book through my eyes as a 10-year-old.
I love it. Oh, man.
I'm like, if they just get 20% of this, it's worth my investment. So, but anyway, fun fact for you.
That's hilarious.
Well, we really appreciate your time, man. We appreciate the new resource, Shaken, and appreciate just your walk. And we love following your journey.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on. And it was a lot of fun. And yes, sir, look forward to next time.
Folks, I hope you've enjoyed this month's Leadership Podcast. Again, we want you to connect with all of these great resources and all these great leaders. If you want links to Tim Tebow, obviously you know how to find Tim, but more specifically about his new book, Shaken, you can go to stewardshipcentral.org. If you want any kind of links or want to connect more with Shanti Felden and the 30-Day Kindness Challenge, you can go to stewardshipcentral.org as well, and we'll give you your next steps there when it comes to that 30-day challenge. Again, December 20th is when the book launches, and January is when the 30-Day Kindness Challenge initiative begins. So you've got some time to line up your ministry or line up your church to get involved in that. And then, of course, I talked a little bit about financial discipleship on this particular broadcast. And if you want any information about that, at stewardshipcentral.org as well, /solutions is where you'll find the most information there. But hope you enjoyed it. And this is how you stay connected on this particular broadcast, the Leadership Momentum Podcast. You stay connected by subscribing right there on iTunes, and also by staying connected at stewardshipcentral.org. Again, we hope it was a value add in your life. We appreciate all of you leading. Not sure what your role is. might be a ministry leader, might be a lead pastor, might be a multi-site director, associate pastor, teaching pastor, I don't know. But however, you might not even be in the church. You might just be somebody who loves leadership. And we appreciate you listening in. We hope that you were encouraged. God bless.
Thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. If you'd like to learn how other leaders are reclaiming biblical stewardship, head over to stewardshipcentral.org. Loved what you heard today and didn't want to miss another episode? Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. While you're there, share your feedback by leaving a review. Finally, stay up to date with Chris Brown, including his daily radio show and podcast, Chris Brown's True Stewardship, on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram by following @ChrisBrownOnAir. On behalf of your host, Chris Brown, and the team at Ramsey Solutions, thanks for joining us here at the Leadership Momentum Podcast.